So children's class was going on. There were seven or eight kids that were in the class, and teacher was really getting the students excited. And as they were coming to a conclusion, she said, "Now, kids, how many of you would like to go to heaven?" Everybody in the class raised their hand except little Johnny. She was puzzled by that. And she said, "Johnny, do you not want to go to heaven?" "Well, yes, ma'am, I want to go to heaven." "So, well, why didn't you raise your hand?" She said, "Well, I thought you were getting a group today to go." That'll come to you later. You'll love it. Satan's job description is listed. Today, that's what we'll be talking about. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. So if you've got your Bible, your phone, your some other device, your watch, whatever, will pull up 1 John chapter 3. Look with me at beginning of verse 7. "Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Father, we ask you now to make your word clear, Lord, that you might today touch our heart, that we might learn something today, take away something today that we didn't have when we came in. And we do that by the Holy Spirit teaching. Lord, we ask that there's someone today that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that has no assurance of heaven, no assurance of abundant life here on earth. Let today, Father, that leave with that assurance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, against his better judgment, Alfred allowed his wife to talk him into allowing her mother to go with them on a mission trip to Africa. Alfred spent a fair amount of time that week keeping mother-in-law out of trouble and trying to make sure that she was where she was supposed to be. Then early one morning, the wife exclaimed, "Mother's gone! She's been taken!" Alfred got up, he got dressed, and then he went looking for her out in the wilderness of Africa. 15 minutes later, they found mother-in-law face to face with a lion. The wife exclaimed, she said, "What are we going to do?" Husband thought for a minute, and Alfred finally said, "You know, we're going to do nothing. The lion got himself into this mess. The lion can get himself out." For those of you who are mothers-in-law, I almost apologize. What does a role of Satan, what does that role play in our daily lives? First of all, do you believe there's a Satan? Do you believe there is someone the Bible describes as the devil? There are a whole lot of folks now that don't believe that. They just believe there's that kind of evil that's in the world, and that there is the evil that is in the world represents satanic issues, but the Bible is very specific because it says there is a devil. But how much does the devil actually play in our activities? And then, like the mother-in-law, how many situations or how many problems do we get ourselves into during the day? Well, Satan rebelled against God. Satan was expelled from heaven because of this rebellion, and he took with him minions, a large number of angels, and thus they are demons today. But in the book of Isaiah and chapter 14, there's a part of the story that is here. In Isaiah 14, 12, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations, but you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." Now, rarely do you hear someone say today, I want to be God. But in essence, how they live their life, they're saying, I want to be the God of my life. They want to be on the throne. They want to make all the decisions. And then they would like to take care of everything. I'll make my own decisions. I am my own man. I am my own woman. That's contradictory to the Word of God. But in order to recognize Satan, don't look for a red, pointy tail, scaly creature. That's not what the devil is like. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes Satan as very beautiful, very seductive, and very appealing. In some ways, the devil is like the old melodrama, a bad guy that we would see. Remember how the plot would always thicken? And I have in mind this villain that seems to have the heroine come into play. There I see this woman tied up on the railroad tracks, and this guy with a top hat and the mustache, he's twirling his mustache over the track as you hear the train coming, and he says I have you where I want you. And then at that critical moment, the hero comes in, rescues the damsel in distress, and our villain walks away saying, curses, foiled again. And the reason for that is simply that the devil cannot make you do anything, contrary to the theology of Flip Wilson back in the 60s. If Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, what can the devil do in our lives? And why is it, what is important to Satan? So we ask the question, what does the devil do? And there are three tasks that the devil does. I'll look at those three today. First of all, the devil deceives. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. Now, God had the same authority to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where God said, look, this is all yours. Everything is righteous for you to have. Everything is okay. Everything is good except this one tree. Second Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 tells us this, that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. Satan is to blind people in the ways of God. And he does an excellent job of it today. Think about what he did to Adam and Eve. Talking about God, he said, oh, now God didn't really say that. That's not what God meant. And so he deceived Adam and Eve. Can he deceive us today? Well, Satan uses tricks and devices to get our minds away from the things of God. It's kind of like this young 8-year-old that was probably on a Fulbright scholarship somewhere. He said, the 8-year-old did, he says, Dad, you wouldn't punish me for not doing something, would you? Or something that I didn't do. Dad, you wouldn't punish me for doing that, would you? Father thought of me. He said, of course I wouldn't punish you for something you didn't do. Well, he said, well, good, Dad, because I really didn't want to do my homework anyway. Just a little twist. You see, that Satan does that all the time. The devil deceives. There's a spiritual hunger in our society, and yet the answers for that hunger are varied. Now, one or two of you are old enough to remember a singer-songwriter by the name of Kenny Loggins. He also had a buddy of his named Jim Messina back in the 60s and 70s. Here are three unique perspectives about God. Kenny Loggins said, God speaks to me through love. God sings to me through me. God holds me in her arms at night, and my heart opens again and again. It's unique. Bernie Siegel, a physician and author, said, I look at trees in the fall and I say, by the way, these are quotes. I'm not making this stuff up. I couldn't. I'm not this bright. I say, why bother to turn color? Why not just fall on the ground? When I answer these questions, I experience God. Leaves turn color so that we get the message that before we let go of the tree of life, we need to show our beauty. These things show me that we are loved. And third, Wayne Dyer, a self-help author, said, I practice awe. That's A-W-E. I practice awe. I mean, I'm in awe of the dishes. I'm in awe of my liver. I'm in awe when I play tennis. I'm in awe of it all. I am just awestruck with the magnificence and the miraculous and the bliss that is in this world. Aw shucks. It's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. We refer back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, how the devil deceives. So, according to the Bible, how do you encounter God? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what the Bible says. God is love. Thank you, Kenny Loggins. God did create. God is awe-inspiring. God is truth. And the Bible labels Satan as the father of lies. If it wasn't for lies, the devil couldn't say anything. But all of them sound like they could be rational, just like he did with Eve. Everything sounds like it could be possible. Satan is the father of lies. And what kind of lies does he tell? Well, first of all, for salvation. He said, you need to remain in charge of your life. You have plenty of time. You have plenty of time. There's no hurry. There's no rush. And besides that, you're no worse than anybody else. See, a complete fallacy of what salvation is all about, because salvation through Christ is not about performance. It's about a gift. It's about receiving and acknowledging what Jesus did on the cross and receiving forgiveness for that sacrifice and his victory over sin and death when he rose from the dead. Fascinating about that. But that's not what the devil does. And he also talks about discipleship. Satan speaks about discipleship. He says, you're okay. You don't really need to study. You don't need to pray. God understands that you're busy. I mean, he gets it. Satan says, don't worry about it. Now, for some of us who are trying to get a little better fit so that our clothes will get a little better fit. Imagine how good of a workout would you have if you only did it once a week? Not very good. So I'm not making progress. And I really hit it for 10 minutes hard every week, you know. I really hit it hard. And I can't believe I'm not having any results. Well, that's what a lot of people do with discipleship. They say, you know, I'm going to attend worship service on Sunday morning. You know, I'll get what I need from that, you know, 10 minutes. And, you know, I'm sure that's going to do me for the rest of the week. The devil deceives. Second of all, the devil discourages. He discourages. I realize that boxing is not for everyone, but even if you're not a boxing fan, I'm not necessarily a boxing fan, but I've heard of Muhammad Ali. I've heard of George Foreman. I've heard of Mike Tyson, and that kind of conjures these really big guys who have these really big fists, and inside the ring, they're gladiators. But you probably also heard about C.D. Blaylock, right? That's a big name. In the fighting world, kind of. C.D. Blaylock is well known for his feats in the ring. Back in the 1930s, Blaylock stepped on the canvas to wage war against an opponent. And one of the strangest moments in boxing history took place. C.D. Blaylock took a swing at his rival, but ended up hitting himself. I really still don't have a picture of this. But the story says that his punch missed the intended target and collided with his own face. He staggered and then fell down for the count. He became the only prize fighter to score a knockout against himself. Yeah, I do not know how you do that. Satan uses many of his tools to discourage God's people, but he cannot make us do anything, but he makes the temptation so appealing. He uses the temptations by using immoral sexual activity, the pursuit of wealth, the desire for power or popularity for personal gain. And in a world that we have, Satan really has the opportunity to make hay while the sun is shining. I do have an agricultural background. I have watched grass grow. He has that opportunity to do so because we live in a world of instant gratification. We need it now. Any of you ever get frustrated when you go to the drive-thru window and it takes too long? So you know what I'm talking about. You really expect a drive-thru window. You go to a hamburger place and you order a hamburger. Wouldn't you think they'd have a few of those ready? I know they're waiting on the French fries to cook. That's what it is. Hamburgers are ready, the French fries. That's what we're waiting on. The devil wants to discourage us. Satan set out to discourage Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. Get him off his game. Jesus was tempted in every possible way, but Jesus overcame temptation by the same way that he allows us to overcome temptation through his word. You don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist to fall into temptation. You don't have to be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, but they are prime candidates for temptation and disgrace. Satan can disgrace and discourage when our appetite for anything exceeds our appetite for the Lord Jesus. Well, the devil deceives, the devil discourages, and our third point is that the devil destroys. If you look over to your New Testament and you find John chapter 10 and verse 10, mine's in red letters, where Jesus said, "The thief, the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Counter, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." Satan does not have your best in mind. Satan has your worst in mind. It's because Satan is in the sin business. His ultimate desire is to destroy the people for whom God sent his son. He wants to steal those things from you that you don't have, that you have, that God gave you. And just as Satan did with Job, so he desires to do with us. Satan wanted to destroy Job in the Old Testament, not just intimidate him. Even with this great evil desire, we are protected. The writer of Romans in chapter 8 in verse 37, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Excuse me. All these things that the writer mentions here are things that the devil wants to place or take away from you, or attempt to take away from you. We are conquerors through the blood of Jesus. It is interesting that the first two chapters of the Bible and the last two chapters of the Bible, Satan is not there. There's no mention of him. We begin and end without the father of lies. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Submit therefore to God." It is a choice. In order for you to submit, it has to be voluntary. Submit therefore to God, and therefore you can resist the devil, because he's going to be tempting you with things. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And we get that way. We're sinners before God. We need a Savior. We're double-minded. We feel strongly both ways. With a radar detector in his pickup and cocaine in his blood, Howard Russell made a Saturday sweep chasing bad money with good. He first went to the Arlington International Raceway near Chicago. There he lost $2,000. The chase then moved to the Riverboat Casino in Elgin, where Russell played the $100 tables for hours. His bankroll was pure plastic. 4 Visas, 3 MasterCards, and an American Express. He made one cash withdrawal after another, totaling $11,300 that day. At least $5,000 of that sum flowed from cash machines on the Elgin Riverboat Casino. He was $13,000 in the hole, had $13 in his pocket when he walked to his truck and took his life. Police later learned that Russell, a 41-year-old carpet salesman from Lake Villa, would bet on almost anything, from football games to presidential elections, and when he killed himself that year, he had a total of gambling debts that passed $50,000. The devil says that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, that's what he did with Adam and Eve. He stole. He took the perfect place that God had created for man and woman. He stole that from them. Voluntarily, but he stole it. He wants to kill. He didn't want Adam and Eve just to survive there. He'd like to have them gone. And he destroyed that relationship that they had, not only with each other, but they had that relationship with God. He destroyed that. So, who is for your good? Is it Satan or is it God? Who is for your good? Who made the sacrifice for each of us to have abundant life on earth and eternal life in heaven? Who did that? Back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You say, you know, I really haven't chosen the devil. Why would I choose the devil? I haven't really chosen the devil. Well, have you chosen God? Have you made that decision about what Christ did for you? You see, because if you don't choose Christ, it goes to the default. Ever had a computer that would do that? You have a default setting. And the default is Satan. And that's not where you want to be. Satan has a job description. He deceives. He discourages. But ultimately, he wants to destroy. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Just a moment, we have an invitation hymn. It is indeed an invitation hymn. If you need to do business with the Lord right where you are, you can do that. You can certainly come to the altar. It is open. Perhaps that you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you need to confess your sins. Say, I am what the Bible says, like all of us have. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I receive what Christ did for me on the cross and his victory over sin and death and his resurrection. that he had. I received that, and I turned my life over to him. Or maybe Lake Point Baptist Church is a place where you'd like to invest in your Christian life. Maybe you'd like to do that. That's why we have an invitation hymn. So the invitation is completely for you to be obedient to the Lord. Father, as we come before you, we just simply submit. Lord, I pray that there'll be brothers and sisters here who resubmit to you, that they understand that when temptation comes our way, it is from you. It is from you, Satan, that we have a temptation that leads us astray and away from God and away from his teachings. That when the Lord tempts us, it is to make us stronger. It is to give us opportunity to make good decisions, and he would never, ever lead us away from his word or from his way. And Father, I pray for every person here today. Lord, I just ask you now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you might move in their hearts, that indeed in whatever way that the Holy Spirit seems fit to not leave here, the same person who came in. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, please stand. Brother Anthony leads us in our invitation hymn. Brother Anthony.